Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And we have the National Recruiting Analyst for our On3 Sports, Sam Spiegelman. Sam, thanks so much for joining us. Man, it's in the final hours of the 2022 class. Three key players here in the state of Louisiana. I think for a lot of people, they feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with Jacoby Matthews than, say, Trevante Citizen. I'll get your take on that. And certainly the elevation of Westgate's tight end, Danny Lewis. He was a verbal commitment to Cincinnati. Now you got LSU, Alabama, Florida all after. Yeah, your thoughts on those sort of final three in the state of Louisiana that Coach Kelly's really coveted.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for having me, guys. Of course, Jacoby, probably at most eyes are on him. He's a five-star by most accounts, a one-time LSU commitment. I think everyone was a little taken aback when he reopened his thing. Ed Orgeron and Corey Raymond had worked very hard to get that commitment. A&M was a fierce competitor. Alabama had stayed in the hunt. LSU got back in this because Brian Kelly and his staff took advantage of the second signing period because, as you know, Mike, Hank Tierney and Ponchatoula played in the Superdome. Jacoby was unable to make his final OV to Alabama. That pushed his signing till February. Florida had gained a lot of momentum for the same reasons we're talking about. Corey Raymond was the first to offer Jacoby as a freshman. You add Billy Napier and Jabbar Jalouk, who have known Jacoby most of his recruitment. And LSU stayed in it. Frank Wilson has known Jacoby for a while, guys like Joe Sloan. I think the biggest thing for Jacoby is when he went on that final visit, because Florida certainly gave him plenty to think about, plenty to mull over. They knocked it out of the park. But at LSU, there's a lot of familiarity now on the staff with Frank, with Joe Sloan. And you look at the guys they just signed. They're guys he played against in high school, guys he played with, 7-on-7. With all the DBs that they're losing, DB has become a major need. I think he's LSU's to lose at this stage, but Florida has not given up, and A&M is still trying to hang around in this race. The next guy, Trevante Citizen, again, another one-time LSU commit. Reopened things, again, with Coach O on the hot seat. Auburn has maintained a long relationship with Trevante. The big key there is Cadillac Williams. We all know, we all watched him at Auburn. We watched him in the league. So did Trevante Citizen, so it's a cool little connection that they have. He's a big fan. They've grown very close. LSU has been playing from behind a little bit, but Frank Wilson, just so happens that he spent the last couple of years over there in Lake Charles, so he knows Trevante. He knows his family. He's been recruiting that school for a long time, so LSU is not out of it. There is a thought that the two Florida schools have kind of moved to the top. Again, Billy Napier, right there at UL, was recruiting Trevante. Jabbar Jalouk, the same deal. They're known for a physical brand of football, and Trevante is a big physical back, loves the idea of playing behind a big old line in the SEC. And Coach Cristobal, again, same brand of football, big up front, big powerful running back. I told Miami made up a lot of ground over the weekend. Kevin Smith, who was Ole Miss's running backs coach, recruited Trevante, now recruiting him for Miami. LSU is not out of it, but a little bit of ways to go. And then there's Danny Lewis, the number one tight end in the state. Again, if not for the second signing period, we know he probably would be signed and sealed to Cincinnati right now. He got the Florida offer after the state championship. Had two gigantic games in the state semis at Carr, then in the Superdome against Easton. LSU followed Florida, and then Alabama threw an offer to the table. I'm told as of today, Florida has kind of fallen out of the mix. It's between LSU and Bama. There is mild optimism on both SEC West teams. I'm told that he's a need for both teams. Both are depleted at the tight end position. If I was to pick, it would be a complete coin flip. I like where LSU stands, just given their history of recruiting, the visit. I mean, we all saw Brian Kelly dancing with Danny. I don't think that's lost on him. But neither is playing for the GOAT, Nick Saban. Nick Saban is playing a key role here. I think it's a coin flip, but I still am mildly optimistic LSU pulls it out.
Now, Sam, after this week, what is your view as far as maybe saving a scholarship, or do you try and max it out, depending you might have someone in the spring or summer as far as the transfer portal, or you want to be able to offer a scholarship? Is that something you keep in your back pocket that it's really not over this week, considering now it seems like it's year-round for sure?
100%. If you miss on a Jacoby Matthews, you can go right back into the transfer portal and look for another hybrid safety linebacker. You look for another pass-catching tight end to throw into the mix. You know, and for the kids that do go out of state, if Trevante Citizen winds up at Florida or Auburn, you know, you never know. Things shape out in 2 years. You could be right back in Baton Rouge. Things have worked out that way for LSU. If you look back at that 2020 class, a lot of them are already set to be starters for LSU, and they signed out of state. So the transfer portal gives almost an insurance policy after these two signing periods.
Sam, the other player, and it surprised me with Harold Perkins, because you know, he had been a long-time commit to A&M. The ties are there to the Aggies. And then what it was, a little over a week ago, he decommits. And that opened certainly the door for LSU to get involved. And I know there are other schools too. But did that surprise you as much as it surprised me? Because that seemed to be a lock for me, that he was headed to A&M. They had a lot of coaching ties. He's from that area, that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, he throws the car in reverse. And I think of everything over the last couple of weeks in recruiting, that to me caught me by surprise.
You know what, Mike? I like to say that I wasn't surprised, but man, if anyone was going to throw me for a loop in this 2022 class, of course it's Harold Perkins. Like you said, he had been an A&M lean for so long. You talk about Tyler Santucci got elevated to the co-defensive coordinator. That was his lead recruiter for A&M. Think about this, when he was a basketball player learning how to play safety and learn how to play outside linebacker, Antonio Cromartie was his personal trainer, is now an analyst on the Aggie staff. When he committed to A&M at the Under Armour game, it felt like it was a done deal. He said so himself. He had been leading there the length of his recruitment. When he decommitted, though, he saw Florida, and I was told that his family got way more involved in his recruitment. I think that they maybe just were trying to guide him a little bit more. As you know, he is originally from New Orleans. He's a Katrina kid. He still has family uptown. He's got family in and around Baton Rouge. They were a big – his entire family was on campus over the weekend. Mom, dads, aunts, uncles, the whole deal. I think that's ultimately going to move the needle toward LSU. I think Florida is in there. And, again, A&M has not given up. I think that, you know, if anyone's going to surprise us, again, we're not ruling out Harold Perkins. But at the moment, LSU feels like with that family advantage, he could play his ball on college football in his home state and let his family see him play.
Now, you know, Sam, if you can look in your crystal ball, that you're looking at name, image, and likeness just getting off the ground. Let's say, okay, at this time, 2024, could you kind of predict where we're going to be at, or you think it's going to be the Wild Wild West? I think you're going to have the haves and the have-nots, and it seems like that's going to be a big part of your program to attract these five-star guys is the whole name, image, and likeness.
It's the Wild Wild West would be exactly how I would put it. It's already becoming that between two signing days, the transfer portal, the NIL deals, you know, it kind of feels like NFL free agency for high school and college kids. You know, I think the biggest issue I have with it is not that kids are making money off their name or their brand. That's great. It's that it hurts high school recruiting. There's plenty of high school seniors right now not getting scholarships because of the transfer portal. And it between that and the NIL, it's basically, you know, an opportunity to make money, which is great. But, you know, if that doesn't work out, then they're in the transfer portal trying to negotiate a deal elsewhere. It kind of feels like it's defeating the purposes of high school recruiting. I think that eventually, sooner rather than later, they're going to fix it with the way they – the one signing day at the right time, and they're going to have to instill more regulations within the transfer portal, eligibility, and NIL sponsorships and deals to kind of keep it at a level playing field. But until
Good
then, it is
that.
Exactly NFL free agency.
Good luck. Because once you've let the genie out the bottle, Sam, I don't know that you can cork it back in now.
Well, is it going to turn into a 16-team college football playoff race? And those are they're going to get the best 300 kids in the country. That's the only – and then there's going to be a lot of kids that sign with Tulane, and then they transfer to LSU or Alabama. It'll become a farm league.
Now, that's a good point.
Yeah, no question about it. Sam, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you a little bit later in the week once all the dust settles. And it's not like it used to be. Man, that February signing period was big, but – December steals now all the – oh, say not all, but a lot of the attention
that you used to have. They call the Bayou Bash?
Used to have the Bayou Bash. Man, that was a big thing back then. But now you're only for a handful of guys. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Sam Spiegelman, National Recruiting Analyst. We'll be back to finish it off here.
Should I go?
On Second Guess here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.